Thank you.
These created beings are not strong. And with each replication, they become weaker. And so you would say, well, what happens to the first one? That's not your business. In some instances, the first one goes into safety to help manipulate the others, depending on the status and stature and rank as perceived by the Black Brotherhood. Satan has, I suppose the word has to be, created his tools. He has manufactured his tools. He has breathed a program into them. And you are dealing with the most clever one energy in creation. That's why each time you think out a thought, you hit a wall. Every time you come over here and say, well, let's see, it must be Saddam Hussein. Oh, they have a deal with him. Only to find that when you get this one under control, they're coming at you from Mexico. And they've been doing it for this particular operation for over a century of your time. And for ones expressing myself through their mouth as sitting in this room, the speakers end up incarcerated in institutions, proclaim that. I think any of you who know Dharma and her consciousness will agree she's not mad. A little off, but not mad. What do you have in store for you? War or no war, you have a completely and totally manipulated economic system. Your commander has sat with you, ridden with you, pounded upon you, told you how to handle in this physical play you have going, distribution through your corporations to manage as best you can. You want perfection. You want guarantees. You want God to guarantee you that if I put my dollar in there, I'm going to get a dollar back 10 times at least, and maybe 100. And if you give it to me for the right reason, I'll make sure you get it. If you give it to me with the reason that most of you have, expecting to lose it, guess what? Now I can tell you the flip side of it. You're going to lose it either way. So you may as well go with me. Because you will get something in return worth having. And you may even get your dollar back. But I'll tell you, the clever manipulators already know how to get it. And I don't care how clever you think you are. They are more clever. And you may think you have it bottled up here, only to turn around to find there they are. And if all else fails, they'll simply make it illegal to have the money. Worse than it being worthless, they'll do that too. But if they catch you with it, not having turned it in, even after it's worthless, You're in trouble. There is no perfection of physical sequence from here on in. There are only varying degrees of utilization of what you have to its best advantage. And if you utilize it to your best advantage in the purpose of making a transition of a remnant, you're going to be astounded at what you will produce. If you're going to clutch it onto Seth just to hide it over here, for Seth, what good does that do? Are you going to just eat and breathe toxic fumes until time wears you out? That's hardly living. At the worst, on the other side, you'll pick up where you left off in learning and make it be better. So what are you doing? Everybody is trying to hold on to this physicalness. The minute you let go of needing to hold on to this physicalness. I didn't say let it go to him, did I? Care about it. It is one dross. Tend it, nurture it, it needs food. It needs water. Because you haven't trained it yet, then don't. But you once can do with less. Because you know. At some level you know. Well, don't get uptight about it. But yes, you have to tend your business. You have to make preparation. For one reason, if you don't, no one else will. We're just going to sit and let God take care of us. I have terrible news for you. I will sit and watch you die. That's not good news, is it? The abundance is out there. You have but to go and garner it. And I'm not going to make Oberly responsible for Patricia, or Patricia responsible for Marina. Well, I don't have any money, Dorma says, so I guess I'm responsible to God. You're my mouth, you take care of me. Or I'm your mouth, or whatever she's trying to say. I continually get quarrels from you once. Well, I have news for you once. She lays that on me. She's worse with that talk. I expect you to take care of me. And she comes to me and she says, I expect you to take care of me. And I smile and I say, fine. Now you get your ass off that chair and get busy. And when you leave today, she'll go back in there and start keeping the food away from the bugs. Because she may need those crackers next year. You're wondrous beings. And I'm being harsh this day and loud this day because you must wake up to who you are. This group does not longer have the privilege of hiding under the normalness, the ordinariness of that which your brothers out there in the masses can get away with. You're not here. to drift your way through. You're here to labor. In the master's vineyards, who has arrived at his graduation. To return and reclaim. And you came before. And I honor you for it. Because in your heart you feel faint and unworthy. And I'm going to repeat, you're worthy. You would not be in this room if you were not worthy. And there are many in this room who are equally worthy. And quite frankly, ones in this very room pull them down and make them feel even more unworthy. For whatever personal reason you may have to show yourself right about what they may have done in the past. To not be bothered with them while they grow. To be bored by their intimidation or their timidness. You're going to start being kinder to one another. I can guarantee it. I can guarantee it. Because it's going to be a lonely road out there if you're not. And you're going to reach out your hands to these young people. And you're going to offer the Rick Kuykendalls all the help that they can stand. You're going to stop isolating yourself away from that that you perceive is a bore. Because I don't care whether you like it or not, you're in it together. Well, I don't go to church. Well, you stop. You don't know what you're talking about. You have no notion what you're talking about. You would let one young man put his neck on the altar to begin to open the eyes that maybe the Star of Bethlehem was a UFO. What else could it have been? Stars don't come and stand on housetops. How foolish! What an insult to the Creator and the creation who doesn't know the difference. How insulting of man to be so ignorant as to express such foolishness. And call himself an authority. You must bear humility. That is not pious, false modesty. You must recognize your power and your wondrousness. Of the self. And bury the ego, for it flatters you not. It turns the most beautiful of lilies into nothingness. You need no gilding. You need to allow that which is within to become the wondrous thing it is. And there is no longer time to dally. Pay attention through the next few days, if you have the next few days. I simply urge you to come to peace within and into relationship with me. Because we're going to walk it. And we're going to walk it together. And if you cannot walk it with me, you will stand aside. Because my people are coming home. And you who are not ready to come home may do whatever it is you perceive will bring you joy. But I have terrible news for you. It ain't what you think. I would hear you, please. Lucy, I do not apologize. You are grown. You are mature. And one's coming into this place, expect all sorts of surprises. For we're exactly what we present ourselves to be, workers.
Father, may I express again my thanks for being here.
I appreciate it. I wouldn't let you go. I understand my naughty jiffy. Especially priests. I give you absolution.
I need it.
Go and sin no more, my
We fly now.
We fly.
We kind of wanted to share that kind of George and I are meeting about our meeting, and we felt like you were there. Was it successful?
Always. You precious ones will always now find success. I want you to understand that even the most blasphemous blast that you can get is success. From here on in, it's a terrified world. It's like the babies writing with all the vile words. They can't even spell them. There is only success for us. Remember, it's not over till I win.
Can we do more? What else can we do more of?
You will know.
You're doing great, Patricia.
Huh?
You're doing great.
So, but I'm just saying that.
That's
is,
what
are we missing here? Something? Like, could we be doing more?
You know, like when we're when I'm talking to people, and it's just there's just this reaching out. I mean, and they're all wanting the same thing, and I don't know if I'm giving them what they need. That's what my biggest fear is that I'm not giving them what they need. You know, what they need.
Come to peace. That's right. You cannot give them unless they accept it. And they're asking for something, and they're wanting something that is the magic. And you haven't the answer to give.
I'm trying to comfort, you know, in some way.
Be very cautious in the comforting. Sometimes you do not strengthen. I love you. Sympathy can be more debilitating than the gun. All you can give is that which you have, and you've offered it. If they do not take it, they will not sit to read. They want you to tell it to them.
Yeah.
Tell it to me. Tell it to me. And you cannot go to each one and tell it to them and tell it to them. All you can give them, precious, is to say, here it is. It's up to you. This is where I started. This is where you must. Because my solution will not be yours, perhaps. And don't take their burden. Please, precious ones in this room, don't take their burden. Don't offer them your solutions. Because your idea of the solution may not be theirs at all. If you tell them to go underground, maybe where they are, they should go to the mountaintop. You do not know.
Well, we ask them to go within and find their own higher guidance on everything. But that's not enough for them.
Of course it's not.
They want us to tell them where to go or what to do.
They can read the book.
That's what we tell them.
That's what the word
that
is being given forth for.
They just keep coming. It's just like these waves and waves.
It's allowed.
It's draining.
It is completely draining. And it's going to be up to you once to put the plug back in. Because this world will be so much worse if you allow yourself to become empty.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know that refueling is as close as your thought. It doesn't mean you won't get frustrated and completely weary in your physicalness. But you cannot supply for them what they're asking. And very often, in the effort to do so, you damage. For they're still wanting their crutches. And yet I hear you. Each child needs the hand. And there are ones that can offer the hand. That's what they're here to serve. In that capacity. Yours is to distribute the word. And when they want their personal salvation through your mouth, put a book in their hand. I don't care which one. Whatever one is closest. I say there are 25 of them, and when you have memorized them all, come back and ask me again. That'll get rid of them for at least 25 days. But they won't need to ask you if they follow the instructions. You must not bear that burden. That is not your burden. There are ones here who have assumed this burden. Some have incorrectly assumed their passage and purpose because they jumped the gun. And they get sidetracked and they think, well, maybe it's in this church, or maybe it's over here, or maybe it's in this group, or maybe it's back here. So yes, they must go within, but there are places now where they can go. And in this village, I would send them to the community church. The young man reads every word. Every word. And he's trying to present it to a bunch of old fogies like you. Because the youth doesn't want to come to the churches anymore.
And yet when the youth finds out what this young man is doing, they will flock in there, and he will have to have a larger sanctuary. And it's up to you to fill those places, and then it relieves you. Do you see? You allow him to serve his purpose and bear part of your load.
I do feel, though, a tremendous community energy when George and I work together. A tremendous power, you know?
Yes.
That there's real balance for this group that we work with. You know, the people that are there. We got a lot of comments about that they felt they really enjoyed that balance of energy with us. So I think we are being, I do feel that we are being effective. It's just, there's a more desperation going on in the feeling from the audience, and it's so strong sometimes.
It will get more so as the truth, which has been brought to you basically in advance, but it's been brought to you from various ones for half a century or longer, but you see, just now they're beginning to hear. And this is why it has been presented in the way it has, so that it could pull together all these fragments, lay it on the masses again, let them deny it, let them do whatever they want to do with it, let Mr. Cooper just have a ball with it. He can do nothing but help. Because truth stands. And the word stands. And it's unfolding in front of you. It cannot longer be denied. That doesn't mean that man won't deny it. But it will never go away again. Well, what about the ones who just heard and they don't this and they don't that? Don't worry about them. You have done your job. When the student is ready, the book is there. And you will not get them through the gate. You have produced the book that got your ticket. Do you see? And you got hooked. It's not easy. It's not easy. It was intentionally made to be not easy. If you don't do your job, then you deserve that gift. Make sure you're not condemning yourself for another job that was not yours. And if you try always to take the job, how dare you deprive another of his? And as you grow, that tends to be what my blessed children try to do. It's what the commander would do for you, because you have such a love bond. And the commanders can see that they could do this, and it's fixed. But only for them. You would not have loved. And they would do it in a moment. If the penalties were not so overbearing for them, Atan would fix it for you in a minute. Because he is experienced. And he has fallen in love with you. Discipline never ends. One soul is birthed until it becomes one in perfection. It must always discipline itself. That is immortality. That is growth. And commanders have to learn it. Angels have to learn it. And Satan will learn it. For what is created can be uncreated. And now I'm going to tell you something about yourself. You don't want out of this. You've come for this. I'm a little ambiguous as to my feelings that some of you actually hope that war comes off by now. Because that's what you've come for. You just don't know which one. And until you have walked through and that ship is sitting there above you, you won't be completed. Because you're not given to see it all. You cannot be given to see it all. Or quite frankly, the very physicalness of your mouth would do you in. And on a higher level, you know that. So you don't demand. You nag me. You nag Hatan. And you sit together and nag each other. But never on a higher plane. You're eager. You're eager to get on with your work. And you don't like surviving. Dorma says she's not going to survive till she gets to survival. To heck with this. And what am I putting it aside for? I will continue to save it forever in case I need it for survival. Well, preparation. Preparation. There's a difference in desperation and preparation. And most of it has to do with perspiration. Hungry. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to lay on, Father?
Yes, Anton, I think you've already told me the answer to this question, but I've just spent a week with my sister and brother-in-law who are worried sick about their son. He's draft age, and yet they wouldn't listen. I don't think they were listening to a thing I told them. Even Eric got into it and helped me out, but I finally gave up because I thought we were polarizing and I didn't want to spoil our little holiday together. I guess I just have to hope that I planted a seed, and if I didn't, well, that's, if they're not going to listen at all, I guess that's their choice.
You ones have to be ready to release. You have to be ready to release. You did what you could, and you have to release it. It's their responsibility to take it up. If he is of draft age, it's his responsibility to look into his possibilities. You will be astounded. At the creativeness of the youngsters who really don't want to be involved in it. You see, at this point, if you have not volunteered, it will be a while before they will draft. They don't want trained ones, trained to protect you. There's an interim period of time that must take place here. A sequence of events to fit their plan. And then they may very well take the youth to police you. And you see, this is going to be very easy because so many of them will come from the elitists themselves. They love policing you. You don't have a kind, loving police force, friends. They didn't send the Russians over here to train with your police departments to spread joy about the world. They were getting together their world police force. And when I say force, I mean force. You have bred violence into the youth. So when you start asking for volunteers to be the militia against the populace of a given country, they're going to all volunteer. I don't want any martyrs. I don't want anyone getting shot. I want you to use your head. I want the sons of the citizens who wish to preserve this country to be in all the protection they can get. There can be demonstrations, yes. But if you try to take up arms against the army, you will simply be killed. That is suicide, and it's frowned upon. You do not win this war with force. You win it with truth. And yet you have to do something. And you did what you could. And then it is your responsibility to release it. They will come into their truth as it unfolds. They will see exactly how it is as it unfolds. Everyone is living in a terrified, especially if they have children that they care for. Surprisingly enough, a great majority of the parents don't care. Their kid is gone somewhere, and they're not responsible for him being arrested on Friday night for drinking beer. These young men and women that you may consider the finest, because they were the ones who went into the service maybe to better themselves or at least have a living so that they're not on welfare and a drain, maybe to get an education, who could not otherwise afford it. They may represent to you your prime hope. But they are the expendables. They are the very ones that the elite wish to get rid of. Those who might seek an education and become informed, and quite frankly, the minority groups. The minority groups are a real problem to them. The elitists are total bigots. There is no equality.
Anton, do you foresee more people of color, us speaking to more people of color around? We had a few for the first time at this meeting, you know, a few black people and Indian people and Mexican people, but mostly it's all white. And I'm wondering who's reaching these other people.
The blacks.
They are themselves.
And they're not ready yet for integration. They don't trust you. You're white. And you speak of things like UFOs, an elite, plans. You are suspect. As truth flows, it won't matter. The barriers will come down. And as the word goes out, the barriers will have to fall. because they would be able to see the truth. They already see the truth. They just don't know what to do about it. There's nothing they can do about it, do you see? What are a million truths in Saudi Arabia going to do about it? If they were organized, they could take a stand. But they are isolated one from another, do you see? And they're all brainwashed in one big war. So they will act as a unit. They don't see an alternative. And they have to deny it because they are on the receiving end of those fuel air bombs. And some of that news creeps through because to make their big splash, they show CNN to them. While they are brainwashing the Iraqis, they are equally brainwashing your own troops. The mass of your citizenry, 90% of your citizenry is against this war. So what do? They go to Lubbock, Texas. And everybody's in favor of Bush. That's what they show. And these youngsters grasp at it. What else have they got? What else do they have? Don't you think if you were on that desert sand and somebody told you that going to send over these little airplanes, bomb the hell out of Saddam, wipe Iraq off the map, and we're coming home. Just believe it. The heart knows different. But that's sheer terror. When they have to realize that regardless, they will be shot by their commanding officer or they will go into that moat of burning crude oil. And at that moment, hope would be that some way they would make it through the burning crude oil because the gun's at their head. They don't realize that if they all laid down their guns, you would have no war. But they can't do it. They can't do it. And so they ridicule the one and call the one that does lay down the gun the coward. And they lie to themselves praying that they will get through it. And it won't be that they would be in one of those body bags. The ones in favor of this war get up and they taunt and tell these horrible atrocities. There is not one atrocity they have dreamed of that can match what is in store for your children. And yet no one says, yes, but that's bad enough. What is going to be over here? A reflection of that. I'm telling you, they plan to incinerate them. If they can't have the oil fields, precious ones, they will burn them.